And I shared this with our son. I said to him, listen, I want you to have a talk with your sister because you're a boy and she's 15 now. Share with her exactly what's happening at these parties that they're going to from your perspective. Because at the end of the day, you have a perspective. And when you're in these situations for your boys, you could say, that could be Ruby.
Right. That's right.
So think that's about right. it as somebody showing a photo of Ruby when she, you know, how would you feel then? Right. Because that is somebody's sister. That is somebody's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So empathy is like a big
is huge.
Key to understand how to tap into that, because then we could be more collective, better.
This episode of Becoming Her is brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Sana is a skin studio that is shifting the relationship with your skin and your products through goal-driven facials, real guidance, and clean skincare. Stay tuned for my unique promo code so you can get $35 off of your first facial at Sana Skin Studio.
Welcome to the Becoming Her podcast with me, Nikki Spolstra. This is a space where we explore the human experience and the challenges, obstacles, and resiliency that shape who we are. Alongside expert guests and featured friends, I am here to host meaningful conversations that tackle life's complex challenges with humor, grace, and a little bit of sass. You are here for a reason, for the collective growth, so we may deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
I think that, you know, there's been a major generational shift, as you spoke about, in terms of approach, right? So when I went to school and I grew up, I too have what now was not part of my background at all. Single mom, struggled, you know, I mean, and love my parents, but it just wasn't the same and it was different times. But we rush in to pick up the pieces. Yes. They don't even know the pieces are falling.
100%.
Until, oh, you didn't do all that? I'm going to go talk to your teacher and find out what we need to do in order. Okay. So, and that's parenting now, right? Some people call it helicopter.
Right.
Some, you know, you can't fall to say, you know what? I fell, but I'm going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a boo-boo there, but I'm going to be okay. And I might fall again and get another boo-boo, but I know I'm going to heal. You know, oh, you're feeling anxiety? Oh my gosh. You know what? Maybe this, it's always like, let's fix it. And there never any time to sit in it to try and feel it back to that,
yeah.
Which is validating that feeling.
Right.
And then saying, okay, I'm here to help guide you as you resolve this, you know, because we want to be present. We want to make sure that there are some sort of buffer there. We don't want to see them suffer. But that goes back to challenging. That's what builds grit. Resolving. When you're in school and you're not trying, you know, my children, okay, you didn't get the material. Raise your hand. Speak up. Oh, yeah. No. Okay, where's your voice?
Oh my gosh, that opens up the conversation to like shame and embarrassment too, right? Like how do we cope with shame and embarrassment? Especially like you have kids that are a little bit older, like who have gone through puberty, yeah. And hormones are all over the place, and middle school is a rough time. Like I remember being a middle school teacher.
Brutal.
I remember when I
applied. If I had time, I would not want to go back.
Right, like worst year, like probably the worst year is seventh grade. And I remember when I was becoming a teacher, Ayana, I was applying to a school that was a middle school and a high school. And I was like, I was certified to teach English from sixth grade to 12th grade. And I'm like, I will take literally any position that you have except for seventh grade.
Right. You feel sorry for them because it just, the environment is, it's like everything. No,
they were like, well, that's the only position we have available. I was like, okay. What I found was that it was probably one of the most rewarding experiences because you look at these kids in this like really kind of like tumultuous, no matter what, even if they have it good at home or whatever, like it's still like internal crazy, right? Like hormones, everything's changing. Girls are getting their periods. Right. Boys are all kinds of weird.
Right.
Like, and I was like, you know what? This perspective, right? It's all looped in. I'm like, let me be a person in their lives that can like assist them in this wonky time.
Yeah.
And I ultimately loved teaching seventh grade, and I wouldn't go back to living seventh grade and like being 13, 14, but I would go back to teaching that age group because I think that there's a real need there. And that's like it's a fork in the road for a lot of people.
And it's a turning point because, you know, as I mentioned, my daughter just turned 15 and every time as my children are getting older, I just am always acknowledging, thank you for choosing to be the person you who you're choosing to show to be.
Oh my gosh, I love that because it's you're like empowering them that it's their choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they are choosing this person to be, whatever that looks like. And I recognize it as that is their choice to choose that.
Obviously, your influence is at play, right? Obviously. But they're still making the choice.
Right, 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 right. So, you know, I feel that the experience that I tap into is, it's a fine line of ensuring your children understand the landscape because they can't always see it.
Right.
And kind of pointing it out, but sharing with them, here's a landscape, learn it, because then you will learn what the next one looks like. So you understand where you want to move. If you're going to move to the left here, but you know, versus, which is resiliency. I have a lot of friends who, you know, there's a ditch on the side of the road mm-hmm. and they end up in the ditch and they're like, I don't know how I got here, you know? And then I have friends who are like, oh, I put myself here and I'm getting myself out. I'm the kind of person who just keeps on walking by the ditch, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, there's a ditch. Keep on walking,
right,
sister.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's all these kind of people and you have to choose, but be accountable. And that was what I was going to say. In this, accountability is something that we're also losing. Well, oh, it's the teacher's fault. No, it's not really the teacher's fault. It's your fault because you did not raise your hand to say, I need help. That's not their job. You know, so accountability, I think, is what leads us to resiliency, because if you're accountable for your actions, that brings awareness, and then you're not a victim, which resiliency, if you don't have that, then you're mm-hmm. a victim in yep. society.
You're right.
Of like, I don't know why this is happening.
Everything's
I don't know
happening
why.
To me. Everything's right. happening to me. Poor
right.
me, poor me.
Right, right. That person doesn't like me. They're doing this to me. Okay.
Which can be true in yeah. some situations.
Absolutely.
Like that is true in 100%. Some circumstances.
But recognize that.
Yes.
And then how are you going to empower yourself? And I know it's not always that easy.
It's right.
But with the social media, the internet, these are now, we have all of this at our fingertips to understand how to identify what are these ways maybe. And we can use those tools just as we use them to scroll what the newest fashions are or trends or who doing. We could find that as well.
I was just having that conversation with my women's community about how because so much of my work is on the internet, Instagram and social media is like, to me, it's almost become an extension of my home. And I have to have that mindset about it. I'm like, I wouldn't let anybody walk with their dirty feet into my dirty home right. and put their feet up on my white sofa right. with their muddy shoes, right?
Right?
So I have to be really mindful about like what kind of content I'm consuming because I'm on the internet so much
right.
working that I'm like, I need to make sure that the algorithm presents me with the content that I want.
Right.
Like, oh, I don't like the content I'm consuming. Whose fault is that?
Right. Right.
Well, stop consuming that content. Change the search, right? Mm-hmm. And then the algorithm will start presenting right. with you with better content, better messaging, more information, the information that I'm seeking, the inspiration that I'm seeking.
Right. Versus noise.
Versus noise, versus right. nonsense, versus negativity. And I'm not talking about like seeking out toxic positivity or like bypassing the work to be done.
Right.
But I am talking about creating an environment where is like where it's healthy for you.
Right.
And social media can be so unhealthy where I think that there's an opportunity for us to use it to our benefit. Like anything
yeah.
can be both sides.
It's a new landscape.
Yeah, exactly.
That we're still learning how to navigate. And to your point, there are really wonderful things about it. But you have to say, okay, well, when I look at this, it makes me feel like I'm missing out. It makes me feel less than. It makes me feel X, Y, Z, whatever that is. If that doesn't make you better, then that's not good content.
And then it's perspective too, right? Like if I see a mom who is working out and I'm like, oh, she's crushing it, right? I also have the choice to be like, oh my gosh, I suck.
Right.
Or be like, wow, she's such an inspiration.
Right.
Like,
I'm going to go work out.
I want to go work out because right. if she can do it, I can do it.
Right.
Right. So I think there's a lot there. There's the perspective element at play again.
Yeah.
I also think that, you know, with the internet and with everything at our fingertips, kids are now always in search of instant gratification. How do we navigate that?
You know what? That's really interesting that you say that because I'm in the throes of that right now. you know, even my son who's 22, social media wasn't really big during his, you know, now my youngest who's 10, she doesn't watch TV. She watches YouTube shorts all the time. And I just had to take her iPad away because she probably one time looked at this short of it's stupid stuff. Like it's stupid content. I call it stupid content. I got pregnant by my husband's boyfriend. I caught my husband cheating with the mate. Yeah. And it's not showing anything sexual,
but still she's consuming that, yeah, that messaging. Yeah.
And I was wondering the other day, it's so funny. She came home and we were all home. It was during Christmas. And she said, "Oh, I wonder if people play spin the bottle." And I was like, "What the heck? Where'd she come from?" Well,
when I'm like, that's an our generation game, guys. Like
history. It is a short about spending the bottle with these couples that are drinking. So that's
our and like that are probably, yeah, our age.
They are. That's where she picked up this content from. So navigating that's a whole nother topic. But point being,
there's apps.
Yeah. Even that.
Yeah.
It's there's still, I have all of those on, but it gets through, right? So I had a conversation with her because I need her to take accountability for it. Mm-hmm. And ownership. And I said, listen, these people are being paid to talk stupid stuff and they want people to suck them in so that they can be stupid too. And occupy their time so that they're not doing anything better. Did this make you better? Did this give you any insight? And if you have questions about this stuff, then let's discuss it. But really, A, it's not age appropriate, but B, this is not helping you to be any smarter, any more funny, you know, in doing your better artist.
Your craft, whatever that is, right?
Dance. She loves dance. This doesn't help you be a better dancer. So why would you want to spend your time on something that's just mindless, taking from you?
Mm-hmm. Like burning your brain cells.
And she's like, oh, okay. You know, she's like, but I think I'm addicted to it. You know, she's 10. She realizes it.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, but that's okay. Well, that's a small win, right? That the awareness is a small win.
Absolutely. I'll give her that. And I said, that's their job. It's, yeah, like, again, anybody who's taking something from you, that's what their job is. And you have to say, that's their job. Am I going to allow them to do that? Mm-hmm. Am I going to participate in them fulfilling their job?
Yeah. You know what I think about a lot, Ayana, is like in raising boys, and you know, you hear all these horror stories about like nudes getting out in school and stuff like this. And it's such a tricky thing, right? As a boy mom.
Yeah.
It's a different angle and perspective as a girl mom, right? Yeah. It's like empowering my daughter to whatever, respect herself and, you know, have really open and honest conversations about what these things mean and whatever. But when I think about being a boy mom, I'm like, in the perfect world, and my boys are so little still, so like, who knows what's going to happen, right? But I'm like, I would love in a perfect world to be able to raise boys that are like, if a buddy is like showing them a picture, hey, yo, this is this girl, that my boys are like, that's private, bro. Like, show me that shit. Show me that shit. Right. And I remember even as a young adult, I had a guy friend who was repeating a conversation that was had in the locker room. And it was like a crass way to talk about women. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at him and I was like, you guys talk about women like that? Mm. And he was like, oh, Nikki, that's just locker room talk. Yeah. I'm like, okay, but you're participating in the locker room talk. So if you're participating in locker room talk, you're no different. Right. Like, you're no different. Right. You're the same.
Right. Birds of a feather.
Right. Flock together. That's right. So I think that there's an opportunity for parents of young boys to really shape that generation, because temptation is always going to be there in life.
Right.
In life. You think it's going to get easier as you become an adult man?
No.
It's not.
No.
You think it's going to be easier when you are an adult successful man? The temptation, the integrity with which you hold yourself. Like, how do we teach integrity, resilience, like a delayed gratification, right? In a world of immediate satisfaction.
Yeah, I think that is, I don't know if we're going to crack that formula today. However, you know, I think, again, just because they might find themselves in that situation once, but it's being able to learn from that lesson so that they don't find themselves in that situation 2, 3, 4, or that they are actually the one showing the video.
Right.
So even if you don't say
and that's
anything,
just a small example. Right. Like that could be like, we could call it anything else. Like you that's just the walk example
away.
I came up with.
If you're not going to say anything, walk away.
Yeah.
Because that's part of showing you're not being a part about it. And I shared this with our son. I said to him, listen, I want you to have a talk with your sister because you're a boy and she's 15 now. Share with her exactly what's happening at these parties that they're going to from your perspective. Because at the end of the day, you have a perspective. And when you're in these situations for your boys, you could say, that could be Ruby.
Right. That's right.
So think That's about right. it as somebody showing a photo of Ruby when she, you know, how would you feel then? Right? Because that is somebody's sister. That is somebody's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So empathy is like a big
is huge.
Key to understand how to tap into that, because then we could be more collective, better.
Let's take a quick break so I can thank our sponsor, Sauna Skin Studio, with their OG location in Wynwood and their additional locations in Fort Lauderdale and Coconut Grove. Okay, so the best way I can describe Sauna is that it feels like coming home. Unlike traditional facials, Sauna's facials are rooted in education, and I love this so much. Every experience I've had at Sauna has been a chance for me to learn more about my skin and its needs. I love that the facials are effective while also being accessible enough to be a monthly ritual rather than a yearly splurge. This is why the Sauna membership is so great. I'm honored to be able to provide our audience with a promo code. Use the code NikkiSpoGlow for $35 off of your first facial when booking at saunaskinstudio.com and additional incentives if you book a membership. I have absolutely loved my skin healing journey with Sauna Skin Studio. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at NikkiSapsbo and @WeAreBecoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com.
And I think we have lost what empathy is in this instant gratification because it's such a, you don't get to really dial in the emotion side
right.
of it.
And you can also hide behind a facade.
Right.
Right.
Which is, I get it. It's part of where we are now.
Right.
You know, doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it wrong. I don't want to, you know, you say right, you say wrong, and then you're down a loophole that you'll never get out of. It kind of is what it is, which is also like a thing. So how do I figure it out? How do I go around that?
Mm-hmm.
And each situation is going to be different. You know, our kids are going to have these things. But let's use it to understand how we discuss, how to learn from it with empathy, with listening ears. How do we navigate this together so we can be better? Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't resolve it now, you're going to keep on seeing the same experience present over and over again because it's your lesson to learn.
I always say that God gives you the lesson as many times as you need to learn it.
So learn it fast, dummy.
Yeah. No, seriously. I actually posted something yesterday and it was like, I'm starting to notice that my lessons are getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was so like, I saw that meme and I was like, oh my gosh, that's growth for me. Like that my lessons are getting shorter and shorter means I'm learning it. I'm getting better.
Right.
Right. If like you think about your kids in math class, for example, and they don't know how to solve this math equation or whatever. Yeah. It takes practice.
Right.
Right. It takes practice. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you can multiply.
Right.
Like, okay, good. You go to the gym. Maybe you can lift a 20-pound dumbbell. Right. And you can't do the 25 one, but when you practice and you do it every day and every day and every day, now you can lift the 25-pound dumbbell.
Right.
Right. With ease.
You just keep on evolving. You
exactly.
And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have lessons. It's just the lessons, you resolve them. And so you're open to learning more.
Right.
And that's more empowering.
Yeah.
And I said it with our daughter, you know, you're going to understand in navigating friendships, girls are real. Can be.
Yeah. Right.
And she's gone through that. And I said, this is your lesson now, because if you don't learn it now, you're going to keep on seeing it. So dial in. How does it make you feel when this person, if you keep on going back knowing that you feel less of yourself, then that's on you.
Yep.
And that's the lesson.
Something I think about a lot is like, I am such a girl's girl personally. Mm-hmm. And especially in the content creation space,
right.
It's highly competitive. And so I've learned lessons that not everybody's a girl's girl. Not everybody wants to see me succeed.
No.
There's actually people who will intentionally do or say things or not say things
right.
so that I don't get the level up.
You're right? Absolutely right.
When I'm really the type of woman who's like, oh, I'm winning, I want you to win.
Right.
Like, oh, you do the same exact thing as me, there's room for both
of us. Let's do this together.
Right. Like, at the top, people are collaborating, right? And something that I realize is, like, I can choose to let that harden me and be like, well, I'm not going to help anybody anymore.
Right.
Because girls are mean. Because other women in my industry are mean and they don't help me, so I'm just not going to do it. No, I've taken the perspective of, like, I'm still going to help you and I don't expect anything in return.
Absolutely.
I just don't have I have no expectations. This is a gift. Free gift.
Right.
Free gift.
Keep moving.
And keep it moving.
Right.
You take with it from it what you will.
And those who are trying to sabotage, sabotage all you want. I find that in business too. Do what you, you know what? I'm just going to figure out how to be even more successful. And you're in a competitive market and space, but that doesn't mean you know what? Thank you very much. I know where I am and I know where I'm going. And, you know, don't take that on, because we do as women, I think, take on a lot of that energy and it doesn't help us.
It doesn't.
So it's like, still be true to yourself, but also it's okay to be a badass and be like, I'm still doing this.
Right.
I am going to succeed. Whatever that success is for you, I'm going to crush my goals and I'm going to keep going.
And I think it's important to talk about the adult version of that, right? Because we're having a conversation about, like, raising resilient kids.
We've been
right?
all over the place.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is like, the adult perspective is valuable to how we influence our children.
Yeah.
That's why, right? So I give the example of the competitiveness in the content creation space. Okay, fine. The mean girl shit is still happening in elementary, middle school, and high school. So it's all relevant, right? So, like, you can still show up. We can teach our daughters to, like, still show up and be amazing and their true selves and have no expectations of that person.
Right.
Like, and they take, do no harm and take no shit, right? Like, I'm not going to take your shit either. Right. Like, just because I'm nice doesn't make me a pushover.
And it's acknowledging it. It's,
yes.
You know, and I think what you're, just to drill down a little bit, is recognizing it.
Yeah.
Because when you recognize the signs earlier, you save yourself a lot of headache and pain.
Absolutely.
And that's in relationships, intimate ones. That's in friendships. That's in everything you do. So, okay, I can understand this characteristic and this kind of feedback that I'm getting from this person. A lot of people are probably going to be like that. So this is that type of person. Not to put them in a box or judge, but to understand how far you can take it.
Right.
Oh, this person is, you know, reciprocal. They make me want to be a better person. I understand that. This is the type of person I want to gravitate to. Or if you're going to keep on hitting your head up against the other person, say, you know what?
Maybe.
I love this playground because I love a challenge and I love chaos. Okay, you're owning it.
Yeah. You know, in that same regard, I had a conversation with one of my kids and I've shared this story before. So, I don't know if it's somebody will need to hear it today. Mm-hmm. I know it. My son was telling me that the older kids at school are really interested in being his friend. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, why is that? And they were like, oh, well, because they know about my last name. And I was like, oh, okay. So without, like, crushing his dreams about, like, all these older kids want to be his friend, I'm like, I just want you to know that you get to choose your friends too. They don't just get to choose you.
Right.
You get to choose who your friends are as well.
Right.
So are they nice to your siblings? Are they nice to your friend, your first grade friends? Are they kind of respectful to adults? Do they treat others the way that you would want to be treated? Or do you respect how they treat other people? You get to have a choice in who you befriend. People don't have to pick you.
Right.
Like, and that happens so often, right? We want to be liked.
Right.
Like, you
by
think about
X, this group.
By a group of kids, it happens. Right. In sports, like, I see it with my boys and sports girl
adults.
Crews. It happens as adults. You just want to be liked. You want to be accepted. You want to have a feeling of belonging, right? Mm-hmm. Community is undoubtedly so important.
Mm-hmm. A village.
Absolutely. Your village is important. And it goes beyond just, like, the parenting part of it. Mm-hmm. It's like demonstrating it for our kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And being able to be in a space now where we choose our village, right? And coming, like, full circle moment is like, you have the power of choice.
And we talked about choice.
Exactly.
That is part of the choice. Who you want to be around. We said birds of a feather, you know, that is where a choice of people who are going to inspire you, help you, elevate you. And it's not because you're taking advantage of people. It's because that's what it should be. Or if you choose chaos, toxicity, abuse, that's a that's a choice too. If you're going to choose one, you know, if both have choices, it's all a choice. And that's, but you have to recognize it and acknowledge it and know the signs. And sometimes we don't because of our upbringing and what we have been, you know, but I think there's a moment in time where you could take a step back and reflect and say, I don't quite have the right lens, but I know that there is a different lens.
Yeah.
And you would be surprised when you ask for a different lens that is going to help you to be better. I don't know how, God, universe, that lens
shows up.
It does show up. And I have called on it many a times.
That's really inspiring. And it's comforting to know that. And I can totally relate because sometimes I feel like quitting everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's it. Right. I quit.
Right.
I'm like, I quit.
Right.
Right. Right. And every time I feel that way, I'm like, maybe I need a moment. Right. Right. First of all, I need a moment. Second of all, there's always a sign that shows me which path to take.
Yeah.
It always presents itself.
Right.
It always does. And I hope that for anybody who's listening, that they can draw some inspiration from this conversation, knowing that they as parents have choices, mm-hmm. that they can empower their children to see the choices in their lives, that we can have these conversations. I do want to close with you talking a little bit more about iTavi and how that community of itself came to be, because it sounds like based on everything we're talking about, it seems like it's a natural progression into that space.
So very interestingly enough, and you know, childcare is one of the biggest challenges we have as a society. And I'm learning a lot. Let me just share some highlights. So we've been at this a little bit. I'm really proud of the work we're doing. It's been very intentional. And the intent is to, how do we prove out trust? How do we redefine the approach to childcare? That's a blanket statement. That's what we're doing. We do it every day. We do it by process. We do it by a seamless approach. We have our partners, our hotels. So that's the distribution of which we do. We choose childcare, but it's really an approach that it can apply to any market, mm-hmm. you know? But I've learned a few things. Childcare will always be a challenge. And I'll tell you why. Because it's only important when it's important to you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true.
And to you.
Right.
You grow out of it and it's no longer important.
That's right.
So we can't have a collective approach because it's only important to you.
When it's important to you.
It's not my problem. It's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad to me, but that's the approach. So in a business sense, there's no revenue in it. A lot. People have tried to do what I do. It's really challenging, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no value added to it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have guests paying $1,500, $2,000 a night. They're going to go to a dinner that's going to cost them the same. Their whole outfits probably cost X amount. And when I give them our hourly price, I would never pay that. I could bring my person for $20 an hour or $10 an hour. I'm like, then go bring her.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you're basically saying your children aren't who you're trusting your children with. You want to undermine and undercut.
That's right.
But yet you want to go spend X amount on a meal that you're going to eat. You're not going to really, I went there because it was a popular place.
Right, right.
But it's just going to end up in the sewage system anyway. You have nothing to show for it. Right. That. The experience with your children is lasting. You could take a choice of having somebody who's going to engage them, provide a positive experience, a non-experience where they're just watching themselves because they're on TV or TikTok, or which now is banned for seconds, mm-hmm. or a negative one. But yet there's a value to that.
Yeah.
And why shouldn't those people be valued? Why should they have to worry about putting food on their table for their families? Because we don't value childcare. Lastly, it was a long tangent, but we have hotel partners who entrust us and they asked us, you have such a wonderful process. Can you help us with pet care?
Oh, wow.
Guests who are coming because they have pets. Fine, we do it. Do you realize people never push back on the price of pets and it's only $16 less than we charge for childcare?
That's wild.
I shit you not.
That's wild to me. But you know what? I'm actually not surprised because it's the same way people view... I mean, people view childcare in the home. People view teachers that way too.
Yeah, it's that is childcare.
Exactly.
Educators, childcare. It's, you know, we're much in the private sector right now, but my goal is to bring this to a public mm-hmm. sector. environment, because it's about the approach. How do you prove this? How do you make it successful? And I think we have a formula that works. We're here in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. We launched in Hawaii, which we're super excited about.
Congrats.
So we're definitely growth since our last time we spoke. And there are days I want to give up because the environment is against us.
Yeah.
They're always, we're going to cut back because we don't see the value in it.
Yeah.
But we're just like, we're going to keep on showing up, keep on bringing value, keep on proving to you.
That's right.
There is a value here. And this is why we've had so many hiccups, why we've had so many catastrophes in the past, because our approach is not right. Here's a landscape that navigating it has never been properly done.
Well, it sounds like by having these conversations, we can begin to change that.
Yeah.
Right? And exposing this to more people and giving parents everywhere and people everywhere, even if they don't have kids, if they're thinking about kids, even if they're just, if you're
Or you have nieces and nephews.
Right. Just shifting the perspective on it so that people go into the world and maybe leave this conversation thinking, oh, I never thought about it, about it that way. Yeah. Well, Ayanna, it's been a pleasure to have you again. I'm so happy that you're a repeat offender on the show.
No, not offender. I want to be here. I'm grateful to be here. I'm honored.
Love it.
All your growth and your new trajectory.
Thank you.
Super excited. You deserve it. You've earned it. Take it all.
Thank you, girl. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Be sure to use my code NIKKISPOGLOW for $35 off of your first facial at Sana when booking via sanaskinstudio.com. More than a skin studio, Sana is a movement towards healthier skin and self-love. Thank you for listening to the Becoming Her podcast. If you love this episode, share it with a friend who may need to hear what we spoke about today. And if you really love this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect from Becoming Her. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at @NIKKISAPSPO and @WeAreBecoming_Her. For more information on all of the things, visit NIKKISPO.com. My hope for you today is that you are courageous and looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.